We're going to 2 Corinthians together, 2 Corinthians 5. And the words that we want to think about are right at the very end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The words, especially at the beginning of verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. In a former time there was an evangelist in Great Britain, known as W.D. Dunn. He was holding meetings up in Motherwell in Scotland. During the time that he was holding those meetings, a death took place of someone that he was very friendly and close with. The death was down in Carlisle, in the northern part of England. He wanted to attend the funeral, but he wanted to be back again to preach that night at the meetings. And he looked at the train schedule and thought it could be done. And he set off for the funeral, attended it, gave his support and sympathy to the family, and then commenced the journey back to Motherwell again. As he was making the journey, he missed a connection. And he looked at the timetable again to find that the only train that was going through Motherwell that would get him there in time was an express train, and that it didn't plan to stop in Motherwell at all. So what he did was, he went up to the station master and he spoke to him about it, and he asked him, will that train stop even just for a few moments in the town of Motherwell? And the station master assured him that it wouldn't. He had no authority to stop the train, only for an MP. He says, are you an MP? No, he said, I'm not a member of parliament, but he said, I am an ambassador. So the station master's ears pricked up a little. Well, he said, if you're an ambassador, he said, I would have authority to stop the train for you in Motherwell. And he agreed to do that. As the evangelist walked away to take a seat, he thought to himself, you know, I should really go back and clarify that situation, just for the sake of honesty and clarity. So he went back to the station master and he explained, I am an ambassador, but not of this country, not of this realm, not of any other country on the face of the earth. He says, I'm an ambassador for the Lord. I'm a minister, an evangelist of the gospel. And he said to the station master, having told you that and made the situation clear, will the train still stop in Motherwell? And the station master assured him that it would. He gave his support to him. When he got on the train, he entered into the carriage, and there was a man and his wife sitting beside him. And the man said to his wife, that's the last stop on this train now to Glasgow. And Mr. Dunn said to the man, you know, you're wrong. The train's going to stop in Motherwell. The man said, well, I've been on this train many times and it has never stopped once in Motherwell. Well, he said, it's going to stop tonight because there's an ambassador on this train. So everybody got up whenever the train pulled in to Motherwell to see the ambassador getting off, and they were all taken back to find out it was this man that was the evangelist. He was preaching nightly in that city to 1,000 people. Isn't that staggering? Where in our country today, holding gospel meetings, would 1,000 people gather to hear the word of God? But I want you to think of what he told the station master. He says, I am an ambassador. And that is our position too. Men and women, we're thinking of pictures. We're doing a little series of pictures of the Christian in the New Testament scriptures. We thought a few weeks back about the Christian as a fisher, a fisherman. We did that in the midst of the gospel meetings down at Keady. And today we want to think about the Christian as an ambassador. You're not an ambassador of the United Kingdom or of Europe. Not an ambassador of the United Nations. You have a far higher calling, far higher office. You today are an ambassador for Christ. And that's what the text is teaching us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Notice that Paul uses the we, the plural. It's all embracive and all inclusive. He's not just saying that I'm an ambassador, not just referring to himself as the apostle and the great missionary. He's taking us in. He took in the Corinthians in their day. But remember, these words apply to us in our day as well. We are, all of us, every believer here, everyone that claims the name of Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul mentioned this office. He made reference to it in other places, most notably when he was writing to the Ephesian church. You remember, he said, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds." It's not an unusual situation. That's something that would spark an international crisis if an ambassador of one nation was put in prison in another. He says, "I am an ambassador in bonds." And I want you to see that today, brethren and sisters. Be in no doubt, the New Testament teaches that you are an ambassador for the King, for the Lord Jesus Christ. An ambassador is one that represents his country. And he represents his country in another country, in a foreign land, not in his own country, not in his own nation. And so it is with the Christian. Remember, we are citizens of heaven. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said, "For our conversation is in heaven." Our citizenship is above. It's in heaven. But our task, our solemn responsibility, is to represent God while we're here upon this earth. And I want to impress that upon you. I pray that it might challenge your heart today to think of the great privilege and the great responsibility that God has given to you. The Christian is an ambassador. Remember that one of the reasons why there's so many of these pictures, it's because not one is sufficient to set forth to us all the blessings and all the duties that God has given to us as his children. And that's why so many pictures are required. There's some truths about the ambassador, as I mentioned earlier. There's five in total. Let me just mention the first one to you, and that is the privilege of the ambassador. Someone with a little bit of wit and humour once said that an ambassador is a politician who could only get an office if he left the country. And there's some senses in which that is often true. The only way that some men can get political office is if they leave this country and go to another. I know that that was seeking to undermine a little some of those men that hold that office, but remember, men and women, it's an honour to be an ambassador of a nation. It's an honour to represent your country. It's an honour to represent your monarch. It's a great privilege for any citizen, whoever they are, to be given this office and to be given this position. That's how it is in the natural realm, and so too it is for the Christian. And I want you today to realize the great privilege and honor that God has bestowed upon you, that you are God's ambassador. You notice the words of verse 20, "as though God did beseech you by us." What Paul's teaching is, what he's saying is, God has sent you. He has sent you forth to speak of the Savior. The Lord has done it. The Lord has sent you. It's God himself that is speaking through your life. Not David Cameron, not Queen Elizabeth II, but it's the Lord that has sent you to do this work. As we often use the expression, and it's very relevant to this theme, you're on the King's business. And I pray that you might see that and realize that afresh today. There's times we get weary. We get weary not of the work, but we get weary in it. There's so many burdens, so many responsibilities that press in upon us, so many things to do. At times there's so much that is flooding in around us, it's hard just to keep on top of it all. And that's especially true at the beginning of the new season, trying to get all the works and the activities up and running again, and there's people to get in touch with and people you want to follow up and so on. We can get a little weary, a little run down. But let this thought strengthen and encourage your heart today. Remember, it's not our own work. Let us never think that. That the work that we're doing is His work. We're on the King's business, brethren and sisters. And there's nothing that should lift our hearts and lift our spirits like that knowledge. You remember what David said to Ahimelech the priest when he came to Nob? He was on the run from King Saul. The king hath commanded me a business. And always remember that. Whatever work you do, whatever role you're involved in the work of God, if somebody asks you what you're doing or why you're doing it, why do you give all that time to come along to the meetings? Why do you give all that time to teach the boys and girls and to come along to the youth and seek to encourage them and so on? Why do you do all those things? Well, here's the reason. It's because of the King. The King of Kings. The King hath commanded me a business. He has sent me. He has asked me to do this work on His behalf while I'm down here on earth. If you think of it like this, Christ represents you in heaven. Remember that He's our mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's a great text to know and to learn, especially when you're talking to Roman Catholic people, those that go down south on the Consider Christ campaign. That's a great text to learn. One mediator between God and man. The mediatorial work of Christ. And He's engaged in that work right now. The Bible says that He ever lives. We rejoice in the One that was dead and is alive, and He's alive forevermore. And He ever lives. And here's what He's doing. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's pleading and He's praying in heaven. Do you remember He said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat. The devil's after you. The devil wants to destroy your life and your testimony and your usefulness, as it was for Peter when he was here on earth. Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but the Saviour encouraged him with these words, and you take encouragement from them today as well. I have prayed for thee. Isn't it always a blessing to know when others pray on your behalf? That would be true of our brother and sister. Just to learn of the prayer support that is going up from the churches here at home on their behalf. We're always encouraged to know when others pray for us. But what a blessing, men and women, to know that Christ, our Saviour, is praying for us even at this moment. Ever lives to make intercession for us, His people. Christ represents you in heaven, but you are to represent Him down here upon earth until that day that He comes. Again, the Bible says we're to occupy until He comes. You're to represent Him here on earth. And what a privilege that is that God has given to you. There's some people, you know, lament and they complain. I have no great position in this church. I have no great position in the work of God and in the Christian life. Well, that's not true, men and women. It's a lie. And it's a lie from the pit. It's the lie of the devil. You may not today be a minister or an elder or a deacon. You may not hold some other position of leadership in this local congregation. But what I want you to see as we consider the privilege of being an ambassador, I want you to see there's a better office, a greater and a higher office, and it can be yours today if you're willing to take it and accept it and receive it. The office is that of ambassador. I want you to realize that, men and women. Recognize the privilege that God has given to you here in this life. As Paul puts it in this text, we are ambassadors for God. It might be nice to be an ambassador of the United Kingdom. When we were coming home from holiday this summer, we were flying from Istanbul back to Dublin. And as we were queuing up to get on the aeroplane, to hand in our boarding passes and so on, we get into conversation with a man from Southern Ireland. A very nice conversation we had with him. And it turned out that he worked in the Irish Embassy in Tel Aviv. He works for the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs. He wasn't actually the ambassador. He was next in line to the Irish ambassador in Tel Aviv. But we had a great conversation with him. Very pleasant man indeed. In every sense, he was an ambassador for his country. His manner, the way that he spoke to us, the encouragement that he gave. And I thought he was a great ambassador for his country, although he did not actually hold that office. And we're hopeful next summer when we're out in Israel that we may have the opportunity to visit with him and to catch up with him at that time. It's nice to be an ambassador for your country. What a privilege that is. But here, men and women, is a higher privilege still for you as a child of God. You're an ambassador for the King, for the Lord himself. We are ambassadors for God. That's just the first point, the privilege of the ambassador. Next Sunday morning, I hope to bring a message in keeping with the harvest. So then the following Sabbath, the 12th of October, in the will of the Lord, we'll come back and I'll bring to you the other four thoughts that we have, or the other four lessons about being an ambassador. 600.